This is The Adoran Show, live from The Adoran Show studio in Jubilife City. Coming up,
a review of the ARBA draft,
predictions for the first ARBA season,
special guest ARBA Tonight host Andy Johnson,
and now, it's Adoran himself.
Hello everyone, welcome to The Adoran Show, brought to you by Adoran Region Sports. I hope you are enjoying your day and appreciate you, of course, checking out the show. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, the show, however you want to do it, whether you're supporting the TV show, the radio, the podcast, whatever you're doing, support the show in any way, shape, or form that you can, especially with the first season getting started right here in just a couple of weeks. We are extremely close to the beginning of the first season, and I don't know about you, but of course I am extremely excited to see what's going on here and how teams are conducting their operations, how they're going to approach the team-making process, and that's just what happened. As you probably know, this past weekend the first ARBA draft was just conducted, and we learned quite a bit. And when I say quite a bit, I mean we learned quite a lot about the type of teams that each organization is building, the type of players that they valued over others, and really checked out the strategies that were being used. Now, with everything going on, all the chaos that comes with the ARBA draft, it's tough to sort of examine and figure out how each draft works. What's the process like? What are the teams like? How does it look? Now that the few days have gone by, I think it's a good opportunity to go through and look at what, at least we think, the starting lineups will be for each of the ARBA teams and figure out from there what type of success these teams will have. Of course, as mentioned in the promo earlier, our special guest today is ARBA Tonight host Andy Johnson, who will be talking with us about each of the teams and an overview of the draft as well. Unsurprisingly, we're going to talk a lot about the draft here today. So, I think we might as well dive into it. So I'm going to go over each of the teams, highlight the big selections. This is based off of us and the team behind the show. We've kind of worked together to look and figure out what we think the starting five will be. If you hear some clicks, of course, that's me going through and actually finding each of the teams. I'm going through all of my notes here online and going through and trying to determine exactly what type of team we're looking at here. So you're probably going to hear some stuff like that. My apologies. So we might as well start it off with the team with the first overall pick, and that was the Twin Leaf Storm. Now, with the Twin Leaf Storm going through their setup, their team, what we think their starting lineup is going to be. So we're going to go from the one position, in other words, the point guard, through the five. So it'll be who we think will be their point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center. And as you probably know, that increases in height. The point guard are probably more floor generals. They're the ones that get assists, make three-point shots. The people on the inside, like your power forwards and centers, are more likely to play more bully ball and be stronger and stuff like that. Now, going through the list of teams, now, of course, different teams have different styles, and they may go completely different from what we expect, but here's what we think the starting lineups will look like when week one starts, not this coming week, but the week after. So next week on Friday, I believe, is the first game of the season. So that would be, let me just make sure I have the calendar right. I think that's June 4th. That would be the day of the season beginning. Let's start off with the Twin Leaf Storm. Their selection, the very first pick they had, they chose Gudra with the first overall pick. Unsurprising. One of the top two picks, in my personal opinion, and definitely a powerful Pokemon indeed. Let's go through the list, though. At point guard, we think it's going to be Serena. Then Ampharos at shooting guard. The small forward, power forward combination, we think they're going to play a bit smaller in the sense we think that both Decidueye and Gudra, both of them able to play that guard forward sort of mixture. One of them is probably going to play small forward. One of them is probably going to play power forward. Going through the information, we think based off of their skill set, Gudra is probably going to be a bit more inside, while Decidueye is going to be a bit more outside. So our starting lineup, we think, for the Twin Leaf Storm is going to be Serena, Ampharos, Decidueye, Gudra, and their center, Obstagoon. Interesting selections here. As you may notice, a lot of the picks that we have especially if you're following along with the draft board. We have people in the starting lineup that are going to be significantly, they're going to be later picks compared to that. We have a lot of rich people on the bench, so to speak. But it'll be interesting to see, nevertheless, their bench as well. We'll briefly touch into that. Furfuru, Phalanx, Swallowed, Snorlax, Furret, and Dratini. An interesting combination of teams there. I think that starting lineup is really good. Of course, headed by who many people believe to be an MVP caliber player here in Goodra. Now, let us move on to the second team on our list. With the second overall pick, the Umbreons came on the clock. Now, there was a lot of people assuming that Dragapult would be taken with the second pick. They decided to go differently and chose Electivire with their second pick. And that definitely made things a lot more interesting from their perspective. So, Electivire, of course, fantastic Pokemon. I think Electivire is going to be a great power forward in the future. But here's what we think their starting lineup is going to be. And if you notice, they are going to play, at least our starting lineup style, based off of their team structure, we think they're really playing small ball. They're going to play a lot of guard-guard-forward combinations here. So we think that it's going to be Delphox, who is a guard. They have three guard-forward combinations in Togekiss, Inteleon, and Dracozolt. So all three of those guys are probably going to fit somewhere between that shooting guard power forward range and the Electivire, we think, despite the fact that they play power forward, they're officially listed as power forward. We think they're going to play a lot of time at center, sort of like a small ball center maybe, or just a different sort of center. Just based off of the structure of the team and how they're set up, we think that's definitely the case. Their bench, of course, Tentacruel, Magnezone, Scolipede, Colossal Muk, and Pangoro. I'm personally extremely interested in Tentacruel. I think a lot of people were underrating Tentacruel when going through, and the fact that they were drafted as late as they were makes me really interested to see how successful they can be. I think Tentacruel is a Pokemon that has spent a lot of time, needs a lot more time in practice, if you understand what I mean, just going through and playing more, experiencing more, because I think they didn't have a lot of time or didn't feel as comfortable in college, so that's probably why they fell in the draft. But I think if Tentacruel gets the right coaching, the right system in place, they could probably go very far. That is what we think about the Mount Moon Umbreons, though. We can move on to the third pick, who were the Viridian Gamblers. The Gamblers had a very, very interesting draft process to begin with, of course. As you may know, the style that they were going for was dramatically different than that of other teams when that goes to the randomization and the sort of idea that they're spreading across. Of course, we had Viridian Gamblers GM Mr. A on the show last week. If you haven't checked that out, you should check that out. Sort of dispelling the rumors that were sending it to random places. They want to go more deep into their team. And deep is certainly where they went. They chose a lot of picks that were very unusual, chief of them being their first overall pick in Noctowl, who, while possibly an interesting selection, we don't have Noctowl starting for this team, at least the team that we developed. So our team, the way that we think it is, point guard Cofagrigus, thinks they're a really good player. They have the ability to play that floor general type of player. Their shooting guard is Gogoat. The interesting selection here is about the size. We think, unlike the previous teams, they're really going to play big. So Seismitoad as the small forward. We think that Glalie is going to play power forward. Scyther plays center. Now, Scyther is an interesting pick, and if you've seen our other shows, you know that Scyther is a particular favorite of Hop Baymor. We are interested to see, at least the team that helped me construct this, I'm personally interested to see how Scyther plays a role in this. Scyther, sort of very under the radar, a surprise pick, of course, a very late pick. But despite that, we have them starting because their upside is huge, especially with the vision that they have. We really do think that they have a shot of, you know, going far in the league, and they have the opportunity to play that way as well. So that's what we think the starting lineup is going to be. Their bench, Unfezant, Galarian, Mr. Mime, Cradilly, the Noctowl that we mentioned earlier, Vivillon, and Smeargle, another player that has been heavily discussed, a point guard that for all intents and purposes isn't particularly good at doing the point guardy things. I mean, they're a decent passer, if that's anything, but it's tough to look and see, you know, how Smeargle is going to work. Now, college just may not have been the atmosphere for Smeargle. That could definitely be a case in mind, but it's something to think about as we go through the process. An interesting selection there, especially how early Smeargle was selected. Next up, of course, the Mawiles had the selection, and they chose Mamoswine, the huge center out of Snow Point, with their first pick, the fourth overall pick. Mamoswine is huge, and that is basically its role. Its role is to just block the paint with as much power that it has. Of course, it's a very good player, fantastic player on the team, and really has a chance of going far in this in their career. So we'll go through their lineup here. We think that they're going to have a lineup of either Vanillix or Gorgeist playing point guard. We're not sure which one. We have them both in the starting lineup, so they may play two shooting guards like that. One of them is going to have to play more of a pass-first type thing. My guess, based off of their skill set, Gorgeist is probably going to be that player that plays more of the point guard role, assisting and managing everything, while Vanillix is playing more of a shooting guard and taking shots and playing the game as sort of like that 3-and-D type player. So Vanillix as the shooting guard. They're small forwards, Galarian Slowking, of course, while not particularly fast, a very, very smart player. Definitely one to look out for. Auroras, we think, is going to be playing the power forward position, and Mamoswine as the center. They have a really, really big front court, which is something to look into during their season if that's going to bring up their defensive prowess. On top of that, of course, their bench of Victor Bell, Exploud, Crabominable, Carnivine, Ledian, and Whalmer. Really good, solid bench. I think they have an opportunity to push that there. They've got a few players in their starting lineup that are only paid $1 million through this first year based off of their draft selection so late as they were, and a lot of big money players on the bench. So something to slightly be concerned about, but this could be an instance of just making sure that their depth is taken care of. They could potentially switch them out, the $1 million players, or re-sign them halfway through the season. Now, the Hammerlock Basketball Club, with their first selection, picked point guard Sceptile out of Lilacove. Great pick, in my opinion. Might be one of the fastest players in this draft class, and I think they really have the opportunity to play the game very, very, very speed-like. I think that might be the style of play for this team, especially when you think about the starting lineup that we're going to pull out here. So, point guard Sceptile, first overall pick. I think it's a smashing perfect pick for the team. Shooting guard Charizard, of course, really has that sort of same style as Sceptile, of speed being the key of the game. We have one of the small forwards, Gardevoir and Claydol, or both of them, the two forwards that we have there. One of them is probably playing small, one of them is playing power forward. We have it as Gardevoir playing small forward, Claydol playing power forward. Not 100% sure there. Embor playing center. Now, Embor is listed as a power forward, but Embor has played center in college, you know, playing through, if they're playing more of a smaller lineup. So we think Embor is probably going to make more of a shift there to be a, you know, more of a center type player. Although, of course, they have the power forward. Now, the big thing about this team is speed is key for this team. They really have those players that can move up and down the court very quickly, and the bench only exemplifies that. Players like Houndoom, Gallade, Zoroark, Amp Toxtricity, Vespaquin, Rhyperior, all of these players, with maybe the exception of Rhyperior, are speedy players. And Rhyperior brings a defensive threat that I think the Hammerlock Basketball Club really, really needs. So, very well-constructed team. The thing about this team is just speed for the win. If you can get down the court quickly, it doesn't matter what it is. Now, this may be causing some problems defensively, which will be interesting to watch throughout the season, but offensively, this team might be unstoppable. But the final team that we have, the final pick of the first round, the Slateport Cruisers, and they chose Dragapult after a pretty decent-sized fall for Dragapult. If you were watching the draft, just watching Dragapult's expression as it was waiting for their name to be selected. Finally, the center out of Hallberry gets selected by the Slateport Cruisers with the sixth overall pick. And this team is fascinating to look at. They really emphasize that sort of taking advantage of the back-to-back picks they had of taking Dragapult and Archeops, who are both in our starting lineup that we have here. So what we have as the starting lineup, we think that'll be for the Slateport Cruisers. We think that it'll be Typhlosion and point guard. Typhlosion, great point guard, very much that floor general type of player. But don't be surprised, because Typhlosion has a torch on them. So fantastic player there. Archeops playing more of that shooting guard sort of role. I think Archeops can really fit in from that perspective. Samurott, a guard forward, plays that small forward position. MacMortar, as more of a forward type player, plays a power forward, and Dragapult plays center. So, very well constructed team, I think. Their bench is well constructed as well. Galarian Weezing, Zipstrika, Nidoqueen, Vikavolt, Tyrantrum, and Mudsdale, sort of taking the players they have in the starting lineup and having a second version of them in the bench. That keeps their team consistent as they're going through, and a lot of people are considering them the favorites. It'll be interesting to see if that's the case. There's a lot of Dragon Ball fans, in particular, that think that they're going to be the favorites, but of course, we have to wait and see how they go from there. So with that being said, predictions for the first ARBA season, my apologies for there. Let's go over some of the older predictions that we had last week, and we unfortunately do not have our segment for that because we felt that it was unsatisfactory. But let's go over the old predictions we had last week. Now, two of them, of course, were proven or not proven in the last draft, and the third one we'll wait to see. So, number one, we had the prediction, I believed, that Biggs would go early. Well, of the first 12 picks, I had the idea that about 10 of the first 12 picks, 9 to 10 of the first 12 picks, would be bigger players. We have it split between the big players, power forward centers, the medium sort of players, your small forwards, your guard forward combinations, and your backcourt, your smaller players of your point guard shooting guards. So with this in mind, we counted of the first 12 picks, 6 of them were front court players, 3 of them were backcourt players, 3 of them were mixed. So this was sort of wrong. Based on the specifics of what I said, this was wrong. I think a lot more teams focus with their second pick on picking a smaller player to associate with the big players. If you looked at the first round, as I can look here now, we have guard forward, power forward, small forward, center, point guard, center. A lot of bigger players, a lot of mixed-size players, only one point guard or relative, you know, backcourt player selected with the first 6 picks. And then the second round, just whatever pick they picked, go with the opposite. If you have a center, pick a point guard. If you have a small forward, pick a power forward, something like that. You know, just flipping that sort of idea on its head. So I was thinking more that people would go for bigger players just to build that defensive inside anchor and then build the outside afterwards, but it seems like teams didn't follow that. Second prediction, I believe, one of the top 2 players will drop past the top 2 picks. I believe that injuries would be a concern. A lot of reports suggested that teams were going to push Dragapult off their board or at least lower down their board because of the injury concerns, and that was exactly what happened. We saw the Storm take Goodra with the first overall pick, and then Dragapult fell until the end of the first round, of course, with the Sleeper Cruisers selecting Dragapult. And a very good selection, of course, Dragapult, if healthy. And we'll talk with Adam Johnson later on today to just look at and talk about, you know, Dragapult's health and see if whether or not they're healthy. But injuries definitely seem to have played a role in the draft when Dragapult fell all the way down to the 6th pick, when a lot of people were considering them the number 1 prospect, or at worst, number 2. The bold prediction I had was that the Rookie of the Year would not be a first-round pick. We have confirmed, of course, who the first-round picks were. Goodra, Electivire, Noctowl, Mamoswine, Sceptile, and Dragapult. We'll have to see, of course, seeing as the season hasn't been selected. We haven't seen there. A lot of interesting picks later on. I mentioned Tentacruel a bit earlier. Archeops, I think, has an outside shot at being able to play for the MVP or the Rookie of the Year, since they're both the same for this first season. Going through the list here, those are the two that I think are particular. Scyther, of course, is especially interesting to look at. There's a lot of players that are later on, because of how deep this draft is and how it's structured, that causes it to be the way that it is. It's a bit more complicated. It's a bit deeper than normal drafts and stuff like that. So that is what we'll see. Of course, we'll follow this throughout the season. So those were the old predictions I have. I'm going to add another prediction. I think this might be a segment every year. Every week. We'll just go through and add a prediction for each season. Now, some of them may be long-term predictions. Some of them may be short-term predictions. But I'll keep a note of them and see whether or not we are right and wrong. So of the predictions, we have, let's see, we'll actually type this in right here. So review of old predictions, we'll say, let's see, the first prediction we have of Biggs going early. I don't think I was quite right with that. I said that the lot, maybe 75% of the first 12 picks would be big players. We only had about 50%, so I'm going to say that we did not get that. But one of the top two players falling down past the top two picks, I think I did get that right. I mean, Dragon Ball did fall down, and a lot of people, it wasn't a very bold prediction, but it was something nevertheless. Bold prediction, of course, being the Rookie of the Year will not be a first-round pick. So, new prediction. What do I think is going to happen? Well, I think, and this may be interesting to think about, especially financially, but I think that we're going to see free agency play a significant factor in the first couple weeks of the season. I think by the end of week three, I think we'll see four players moved via free agency. So either signed or cut, probably a combination of those factors. So we'll say this, I think there will be four separate transactions. Maybe I shouldn't go with four separate transactions, because you could cut a player and sign a player. That would count as two different transactions. So what we'll say is, I think there will be eight separate transactions throughout the league by the end of week three. I think some teams are probably not as comfortable with their teams as they think. They're looking for a different style, maybe, or their coaching style. Maybe after examining the players, they find out, oh, maybe they're not as good as we thought they were, or something like that. And the financial structure allows some flexibility for this. You can cut your top player and still sign a bunch of people off of free agency as long as you can strike a deal with them. Because I believe, looking through, the salary cap is $180 million, and payroll for every team is exactly the same at this point of $163 million, which means that there is this $17 million gap here that you're able to finagle with. Now, all contracts are guaranteed, of course, and even if you cut a player, then you're going to pay their contract out until they get signed by somebody else, at which point it becomes a whole mess of things. But this is something that I think, so I'm going to write this down right here because I did not think about writing this down for some reason, but I think prediction is that we will see eight different transactions. Eight different transactions by the end of week three. I think some teams will probably give players some chances, but with how small the season is, after three games, that's 30% of the season. No, they're gonna wipe their hands clean at that point. We'll see if that happens or not, but that's something to look into. Stick around, don't leave, because right after this break, we'll be having a conversation with ARBA Tonight host Andy Johnson and discuss his thoughts about the draft and the future of all of the teams. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Our guest is waiting on the line. He is the ARBA Tonight host, along with his co-host, Adam Nelson. We have Andy Johnson with us. Andy, I hope you are doing well today. First week after the draft, what are your early thoughts?
Hello, Adoran. I hope you and your audience are doing well today. First week after the draft, early thoughts. Very interesting selections by a variety of teams, especially the Gamblers, which was expected going into the draft. It's certainly interesting to see how different players fell into their particular positions. We'll look forward, of course, to seeing the impact that they have in the early weeks of not only the training sessions, but of course, week one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. The next couple of days are going to be really interesting when looking at this. I've got a variety of questions to ask you, and we'll just go down the list, see your interpretation on it as a key factor in the ARBA. So, the Twin Leaf Storm, of course, with the first overall pick, Gudra was their selection. Gudra and Dragapult were really debated on between as the top two players in the draft. Of course, the draft didn't fall that exact same way due to injury concerns. So I want to know your opinion. What do you think about Gudra? Do you think Gudra has the biggest potential out of everyone in this draft class?
Well, it's certainly possible that that could be the case. I think that Gudra has the ability and has shown, has proven in prior years that they have the ability to carry a team. And I think that, at the end of the day, is what's really bringing them to the top, being the cream of the crop, so to speak. With Gudra's ability not only to pass and defend, play the game the way that they do, it's very easy to customize a team around Gudra, which is something I think the Twin Leaf Storm are planning on doing. So, absolutely, with the system in place, if it's constructed properly, Gudra could be the player with the most potential, the highest ceiling out of all the players in the draft.
I think the debate really is about Gudra versus Dragapult and where that lies there. Speaking of Dragapult, what do you know about Dragapult? Has Dragapult recovered from their injury concerns in college, especially how they ended their last season? Have they recovered for the most part?
According to reports from Cruiser's camp, the suggestion is that Dragapult is making a speedy recovery. They aren't playing completely when it comes to training. They're not going at 100%, but I think that's more of a cautionary sort of thing, being conservative with Dragapult, not trying to risk any chance of re-aggravating previous injuries. The expectation is that Dragapult will be ready to go in 100% by the beginning of week one.
Okay, that's fantastic to see, and we're obviously all rooting for Dragapult to come back at 100%. The game is just better when players are healthy. Going through, there are a couple of teams that actually, I think, went under the radar, not just because of their style, but also the lack of national exposure that their teams get. One perfect example is Mount Moon Numbreons. One thing noticed when looking through their draft, doing an exercise earlier in the show about planning their starting schedule, their starting team, was that the Umbreons seem to have a lot of forwards. Do you think that drafting a lot of forwards could cause a problem with the team?
Well, it's certainly interesting that you asked that. I think the style of play that the Umbreons seem to focus on is sort of based on the versatility of their players. Now, with their players and the way that they play the game, it's much more focused on different players being able to accommodate different types of skills. So, the idea, of course, is that bigger players are generally better, especially in the same position. And I think the idea that the Umbreons are going off of is the idea of having their forwards or guard forwards play different positions. Now, that could result in them being undersized in the center and power forward positions, but it could result in better defensive production in the relatively smaller players like the point guard and shooting guard. So, a particular style that personally I think could be successful if implemented properly.
Interesting, okay. And when it comes to the Gamblers, of course, a lot of news was about their different style of scouting and how everything could have been, it was done untraditionally. Do you personally think their strategy working, of drafting the way that they did, do you think that strategy worked at the end of the day?
Well, it's too early to tell, I think, and that's probably part of the concern that a lot of teams and a lot of players, the media has about this decision and this process is just the fact that it'll take a very long time to judge whether or not this is successful at the end of the day. Now, with the strategies in place and everything that's been done, it's certainly feasible that it could be much more successful. And if players are able to grow at a consistent rate, this is a large suggestion was about finances, if that could play a role as well. And if this team, of course, if they win a championship, then, of course, all of this was successful. So it really just depends on how much time we're willing to give the Gamblers and their decision-making team.
Okay, all right. A couple of tough questions here now, and very opinionated questions. But which team do you think is the most consistent team in the league? Which team do you think is going to be the best when things go bad, basically.
Well, I really don't enjoy thinking about teams and struggles that they have and how and the negative side of things. So I'll talk about one of the teams that I found interesting. One of the deepest teams, in my opinion, was the Mawile Mawiles. I think the Mawiles did a very good job of getting players that are at really good levels, and a lot of players are very consistent with one another. They play similarly, so it's not an issue if you have the starter on the bench for the rest time. You have a second version of that starter on the field. Now, this is extremely helpful, or on the court, I should say. This is extremely helpful because it doesn't change the style of play that you have. You have similar players playing similar game styles, which can be wearing for a defense and cause consistency in the offense, which could help out in the long run. So the Mawiles, I think, are possibly the deepest team out of all the teams in the draft that ever have gone through the draft process.
Interesting, interesting. Mawiles definitely noticed that. Yeah, a lot of the players they chose were of similar models, similar styles. Definitely good for keeping the same style of play, like you were mentioning earlier. Which team do you think is a sleeper? The team that is not being talked about and has a significant chance of winning it all this season?
Well, it's certainly tough to say, just because of so few teams and the fact that all of these teams have their own local networks that talk about them a lot. The national media is giving every team at least a little bit of attention, but the one team I think that is not being talked about enough for their decision-making is the Haverlock Basketball Club. I think they have the opportunity to go out there and really show their decision-making process. Now, it's reports coming out that they don't seem to be done, which is interesting, suggesting that they're going to try maybe a trade or free agency or some sort of action like that, which will be definitely interesting to look at. Now, unclear, of course, these are all just rumors, but it'd be interesting to see if they could pull off a trade or talk about maybe future draft picks if they're thinking maybe future seasons is the way to go. So definitely news. I think they're a sleeper team to think about not only for this season but for future seasons to come.
All right. Thank you very much. This was fantastic. Very enlightening. And I think audience learned a lot from this. Thank you very much, Andy.
Oh, not a problem. Hope to be on the show again soon. You should come on our show. I know we used your clip last week, but I think you should definitely come on the show. It'd be a lot of fun to chat about things and the news media and everything like that that's going on over the past couple of weeks. So definitely come on.
Absolutely. Thank you very much once again for coming on the show. That was ARBA Tonight host Andy Johnson here with his co-host Adam Nelson. They host ARBA Tonight on Fridays on the Aduran Region Sports Network. Be sure to check it out on Fridays, of course, for quick reviews of the entire week that has happened. I know this week is definitely going to be a longer episode than normal. A lot of interesting information from Andy. Definitely got more details about different teams. Interesting to hear about the rumors about the Haverlock Basketball Club. Didn't hear that beforehand, but that's making me believe much more in the idea of the free agency bet that I tossed out earlier. Definitely interesting to think about. It's good to see Dragapult is healthy. Gudra definitely having potential in the draft. An interesting selection about the Mawiles as the deepest team. It was something that our team was looking at when we were going through the planned starting lineup, was that we found it very difficult to plan the Mawiles starting lineup because we couldn't choose between point guard and point guard. The styles of play were very similar, their skill set was very similar, and a lot of them ended up being close votes. Like, of our entire staff, it'd be, you know, 50-51-49 type splits between players to get them into the starting lineup. So definitely interesting to think, yeah, that could have been part of their draft process, the idea of picking players in a particular way to make sure that you never lose the skill that's on the field at the same time, or out in the court. Definitely interesting to think about. That will wrap it up, though, today. I want to thank, of course, Andy Johnson for joining us today. And it's exciting. We're getting closer and closer to the beginning of week one. Again, a reminder, week one starts next Friday, not this coming Friday, next Friday. So be sure to stick around for that. As always, to promote the other shows, Heads and Tails on every Monday, The Adorn Show, as you're listening to right now, on every Wednesday, and ARBA Tonight on every Friday. The games will normally be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you'll be able to hear that starting next Friday as well. That about wraps it up. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. I hope that you have enjoyed. I hope you've been enlightened by everything that we've discussed today. I want to thank once again Andy Johnson for joining us today, and we will see you next week with hopefully an interesting slate of games coming up as the schedule is about to be unfolded. So we will get into that. Thank you very much, everyone. Until next time, take care.